This is Scotty Saltzman, and I'm interviewing Miss Stella Brown at the home of Miss Momfeather Erickson in Henderson, Kentucky. Miss Brown today is going to share some of the information about her Native American heritage with us. This is Saltzman tape 2010-001. Now, Miss Brown, I'd like to kind of, for you to start out and to kind of share us a little bit about how did you make a connection to your cultural roots as far as your Native American heritage and those kind of things? So how did that begin for you?
Well, as I grew up, we never talked about being Indian or having Native American background, you know, because at that time, people was, they had prejudices. And so we just never really knew it. But the way we were raised, I knew it in my heart, mm-hmm. you know.
Can you kind of talk a little bit about when you said how we were raised? What do you mean by that, and how was that for you?
Well, just like when we were had any sickness, which wasn't very often, because of the way that we ate, we never went to the doctor, and my dad would go out in the woods, and he'd come back with herbs, you know, bark and roots and leaves, and fix us up some kind of concoction and give it to us. And we always got well.
So kind of going back to the whole natural kind of aspect of things.
Yes.
Okay.
And then when we spent summers with my grandparents, it was the same thing. It was, we never went to a doctor. We never had medicine as such, you know,
and so,
drugs.
And where did your grandparents, where did they live?
They lived right where I live now.
Oh, okay.
Yes, between Salem and Marion, Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
And we were always self-sufficient. We raised everything we ate. And we worked hard, you know. We worked for what we had.
So I guess, when was it that you first really knew, as far, I guess, officially knew that you had Native heritage?
Oh, probably about 8 or 9 years old.
Okay.
But I wasn't told that, you know. Okay. But I had that feeling.
So what do you do now, or what have you done over the years to make that connection with your cultural roots?
I really wasn't able to until I met Momfeather, and then I've been working as close with her as I can on bringing the education to our children and helping them learn who they are.
Okay. So what are some things that you do, if you don't mind sharing, that really connect you to your roots?
Probably the most thing I have done is work with the herbs.
Okay. And so what has that meant for you, being able to work with those herbs and get that connection to Mother Earth like that?
It just opens me up to a new feeling of wanting to help people get well and wanting to help them have good health. And I have worked toward that. I never finished high school, so when I was 70, I decided that I was tired of saying that I didn't have a high school diploma, so I went in to this extension agent and told him I wanted to get my GED, and I told him I wanted it in 3 years, or I wanted it in 3 weeks, and he told me that was impossible, because I hadn't been to school for 55 years. And I told him if I set my mind to it, I would have it in 3 weeks, or I didn't want it. And so he said, well, I'll help you. So anyway, in 3 weeks, I had my GED.
Wow.
So then after that, well, I decided I wanted a certificate in working with herbs. So I took a college course in natural medicine, and I got my certificate as a master herbalist. And And I've been doing what I can since then with the herbs.
And so when was that you got that college certificate? How long ago was that?
2 years ago.
Wow.
And then I was 74 at the time.
Oh, okay. And so does working with the herbs, do you also feel a connection? Because you said your father also did that as you were growing up, right?
Yes.
And your grandfather?
And my grandmother.
Grandmother, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because my mother died when I was 4.
Okay.
So I never had her influence and help, you know.
And so I guess growing up then, that you also learned a great deal from your father about herbs as well, right?
Yes.
And your grandmother?
And my grandmother, yes.
What was her name?
Her name was Nettie Butler.
Nettie Butler, okay.
Uh-huh.
My grandmother's name is Nettie.
Well, how about that?
It's a small world, isn't it?
Yes.
So let me ask you this then. Who do you consider keepers of tradition and cultural stories, ceremonies or language, those kind of things for you? Who do you...
You mean right now?
Yes,
It's Mom Feather.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's a real kind of pillar within...
Yes, yes.
For you, okay. And so she shares a lot of things with you.
Yes, she does.
Okay. How do you see traditional knowledge passed on?
It's almost going to have to be orally, because the schools really doesn't teach the true traditions, and a lot of our ceremonies should not be taught to the public anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to need to be orally.
Okay. And do you see yourself taking a role in that aspect of passing on various traditions to others?
I hope I can, yes.
Okay. And have you started to do that now with folks,
what
yourself?
What we do, we work with school children,
mm-hmm.
and they come to our center, and we have a whole day of teaching. And yes, I can see myself doing that.
Mm. Well, good. Let me ask you this, who have either you shared, and from you talk about school children, or is there anyone right now that you've been sharing any of this culture and tradition with in your own family or within the community?
Well, all of my family I've shared with them.
So,
and we have... 5 children, they've all got their spouses. We've got 11 grandchildren, and 6 of them have their spouses, and then we've got 17 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
And we get together just as often as we can, and I share. I tell them, you know.
And so I guess that's a big change from when you were growing up, right? Because back then...
They didn't talk about anything. They shared... the ways, you know, and the values, but not that we were Indian.
Uh-huh. And so now you've been able to change that a little bit, haven't you, and been able to talk openly.
I've tried to share the values and mm-hmm. the...
To continue those on, right?
Yes.
As they were shared with you early on.
Yes.
Okay. What are some difficulties that Native people in Kentucky face?
Well, probably that they have got the wrong impression, and a lot of them think that the Native Americans are beneath them, maybe, that's more what I'm seeing, you know, that they kind of look down on Native Americans.
So they kind of see Native Americans as less than?
Not as worth.
Okay. Kind of like second-class citizens or something like that. Do you think that when Native people in Kentucky try to celebrate some of their traditional ceremonies or conduct traditional ceremonies and things, that they face any particular challenges or difficulties in carrying on those traditions?
To the public, you mean? Or what the public thinks about that?
I think so.
Yeah. they think maybe that we may be devil worshipers, you know, that we don't believe in Jesus Christ, and that we're doing a pagan ceremony. But I don't feel that at all, because when I go into a ceremony, I know who my God is, and it's not pagan.
Do you think that there are some difficulties for Native people in Kentucky to have the freedom to celebrate in their traditional ways, to conduct their traditional ceremonies?
I can see that's a problem, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And how so? How do you see that being some problems?
For one thing, they don't believe in having ceremonies like that. They don't believe in celebrating life the way the Native Americans do. And so they wouldn't participate. And they think was having the wrong kind of ceremonies.
Do you think that with the way that many people here in Kentucky live, with demanding work schedules and school schedules, that that causes conflicts and problems with following a traditional Native way of life or celebrating traditional beliefs and those kind of things?
Most people have to work, and the husband and wife both have to work. They don't have enough time to sit down with their children and talk to them. And they don't have time to take them places, you know, like ceremonies or anything. And they are really losing out on their heritage.
And is that, do you think that's because in the Native traditions, with the connections with the generations, the time isn't, there's not enough time, so to speak, in the day to be able to make those connections and carry those on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they get so busy with other things in life that's not that important, you know.
Yeah.
But we've been, I have a fry bread recipe that I got from my grandmother, and we were going to powwows and doing fry bread. We'd done that for about 20 years. And they would come to powwows. That's a place of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spiritual also. But the ones that came, you could just see them being free and celebrating together, you know, and the love that's in the people that come. That's sincere.
Well, and could you describe for us what is a powwow? Kind of talk us through and kind of describe that for us, if you could.
All right. Long time ago, the Indians would come together to trade whatever they had, whether it was arrowheads, beads, food, whatever they had, they would come together at a certain gathering place to trade. And then they'd have their music, their drums, and they'd dance, you know, and celebrate being together. And so then it began to be called a powwow. But it was a English trader that started calling it a powwow. Well, that name hung on. And so it's called a powwow, Native American powwow. And we always have an arena, and we have drummers, and we have dancers, and then we have traders. And now people begin to call them vendors, but to me, they're still traders, because that's what they come for. They set up their booths to trade their goods for the people's money. Or if somebody wants to bring in other goods to trade them, well, they do, but they're called traders. And we have them around our arena, And then we have our dancers that dance for the celebration of life, and some come to dance for their ancestors. And that's what it's all about.
About sharing, right?
Yes.
And learning and those kind of teaching others a little bit,
yes,
as well.
Yes.
Okay. And so do you still do the powwows?
No.
Okay.
No. We haven't done a powwow for about 3 years ourselves, because we were coordinating them.
Yes.
But the last 3 years we have kind of given it up.
Oh, okay.
We still go,
but
not,
not
to the extent that we were doing, no.
Yeah, okay. There are generations of Native culture here in Kentucky, with or without documentation. How important is documentation to you?
I know who I am, and I don't have to be documented to be me. So I don't know, I don't see the value of it myself, but a lot of people do.
And for those folks that do put a lot of value on documentation, what do you say to that, or say about that?
A lot of our documentation has been lost in the past through not being able to say that we're Native Americans. So when a child would be born, they'd put white on the birth certificate instead of putting an I for Indian,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then way back in history, the coming over from England or wherever they came from overseas, they would see the different Indians, you know, and they were very friendly, but they were not allowed to marry.
Mm.
So sometimes they would go across the state line where they were allowed to be married, but they'd have to change their name.
Okay.
And so they lost. So it is very hard to go back and document your heritage because of that.
There was a lot of fear, wasn't there?
Yes.
Goes back to what you said in the beginning about growing up, your family didn't celebrate their Native heritage.
No.
Because of the fear and the prejudice, right?
Yes.
If you had something you know, what would you like to share to folks here in Kentucky about being Native? What has that meant to you?
I don't know if it just being Native, but I can be my true self. You know, I don't have to pretend to be somebody I'm not. And I'm proud to be Native American. I'm proud for who they were and what they stood for and the morals that they had. I don't know if that answers the question or not, but
I think so. I think it does. I mean, I think that says a lot, because when you can be who you are, be yourself, that's really a freeing experience, isn't it?
I don't pretend. I feel free to be myself.
Have you experienced any discrimination or prejudice because of your Native heritage?
Not me personally, I don't think. But I've been around where I've heard people say, well, those so-and-so Indians, you know, or you better watch out or they're going to scalp you. You know, real remarks like that.
If you could share something with the folks here in Kentucky, particularly school children, let's say, what's one thing that you would like to share with those folks about your heritage, your background?
Just be proud of who you are and learn about the ways of the Native Americans, because they were true ways.
Okay. Is there anything about your Native heritage that you'd like to say that I haven't asked you about? Or anything you'd like to share that I haven't asked about?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of Native Americans have a feeling in their heart that they're close to nature, and they love to enjoy nature. You know, they're not ones to. I mean, we're in a civilized world,
mm-hmm.
and we have changed according to the world. We've been along with all the new stuff, you know. But if you watch them, the ones that comes to powwows where they live in cities and all, they're just so open and so free with theirself when they're around other Native Americans, and they're dancing and having a good time, you know.
Okay. Well, I think that's about all the questions I have today. Would it be okay if I came back, if I had other questions at some point, to call you up and
sure.
say, can we interview you again?
Sure.
Well, thank you for your time today. And, of course, this is for the Kentucky Historical Society, the Kentucky Oral History Commission. And we're going to ask it, if it's okay with you, that we can house this within the state so that other folks can access it. Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time today, Ms.